Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
I want us to understand that worship is more than just the third and fourth song on a church service, right? That giving, right? That's why we say, let's continue on with worship, because giving is a part of worship. And so, I have the definition here of worship, the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity, or the adoration devotion comparable to religious homage shown towards a person or a principle. And so this idea has kind of been going around in my mind about created to worship. And I wanted to, put my thoughts to paper and then paper to words. It's our part of our DNA. It's who we're created to be. And the question is not what will you worship, but who will you worship? Will you worship your money? Will you worship your job, your position? Will you worship, nature? Will you worship, a relationship? Will you worship? Because where you put your focus, where you put your attention, where you put your time towards is kind of where you worship. So for some people, it's politics. For some people, it's education and how high I got. And I got my PhD, and then I got my master's, and I got all this. It's like, all right, is that who you worship? Is that what you worship? And but I want us to come to a place where people understand that there's him who sits on the throne, and that if he doesn't have your worship, you're missing it. You will never feel complete. You will never feel whole. You will always feel lacking or wanting if it's anything other than him. And that includes the version of God you've created. That includes, and I think this probably is probably the biggest one, is that we worship ourselves, even though we don't call it that. When we put ourselves on the throne, when we put our wants, our desires, our needs above anything else, you've put yourself in the place of your own worship. And so I never want it to be said of us, Matthew 15:8 says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And when I think about worship, as far as like singing songs in a service, I can do that. That verse makes me think of that, right? Because it's like, how often do we just come in and we read the words on the screen and we just kind of let some air out of our body? And for some of us, it comes out sounding beautiful. For some of us, it's like, maybe you sing that a little lower, there's other people trying to worship. Don't get me wrong, like words on the screen are awesome. They help you learn the songs, but sometimes I think they're a distraction because you're just focused on the karaoke that's going on the screen rather than actually singing from here. There comes a point where it's like, maybe you need to just close your eyes. Don't worry if you're getting the words right, but what words are coming from your heart? What song are you singing to God? The title of my message is Created to Worship. And then, that's not on there. Yep. The subtitle. I'll get to the subtitle later. Stand out, sing, speak life, Sabbath, serve. My first point is you were created with purpose. Colossians 1:16 says, all things were created through him and for him. Isaiah 43:21 says, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We were created to worship. We were created for him. We were created for relationship. And the sooner we know that and understand that, the sooner we begin to understand our purpose in life. You know, there was, as soon as, they say until you come to know the manufacturer, you can't fully understand our purpose. Or, you know, I liken this. There was a movie, it came out a few years ago. I honestly can't remember which one. I think it was one of these Judd Apatow movies. And, this woman, she gives her mom an iPad, right? And iPad, wow, that's awesome. That's an amazing gift, right? And then the mom's like, okay. And then I think a few scenes later, they come back, and she's chopping onions on the iPad. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's not what this is created for. That's not what I gave it to you for. I gave it for you to explore this world wide web. Anything you can think of, imagine, you could have access to it, and you're cutting onions on it. And sometimes we do that with our lives. God's like, I gave you these gifts. I gave you these talents. I gave you this lot in life. I gave you this privilege. I gave you where I positioned you, and you're chopping onions? It stinks in here. If it smells in here, if it smells, somebody's onion's getting peeled. And so we have to, we come to the source. We can't ask the world to explain what's going on with us. We can't go to just, book knowledge or all these things or even well-meaning people and want to understand us, our identity. In order to understand yourself, you have to go to your creator. You have to go to the manufacturer. You have to go to what he has. Because it's even there's, if I have something wrong with my refrigerator, and so then I go get just any manual, but it's not the manual for my refrigerator, guess what? I'm going to have a hard time. I might figure some things out, but it's going to give me problem. It's not going to make sense because it wasn't what it was created for. So the second point is true worship is at the core of our relationship with God. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. John 4:23-24 says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Ooh, that's holy. I can tell that water's been prayed over. Not just any old prayers, Holy Ghost prayers. Thank you, guys. Thank you. So as I talked about, worship is not just singing songs, but what worship with our lives looks like are these things. I think they put them on a, did they did it? Okay. Right? Praises on our lips. Now, this is the singing of songs. This is us singing out to our Creator, thanking him with a place of gratitude, honoring him, putting him in a place of just awe and holiness and say, God, you are worthy of all my praise. That's worship. Following him and not the world, right? To stand out. Because the kingdom of heaven is, it's upside down. There's a lot of things that don't fully make sense to the world in the kingdom. It's like, if you want to be great in the kingdom, what do? Anybody? Servant of all. Wait a second. How can I be great if I'm serving? How can I be great if I'm washing people's feet? It doesn't make sense to the world. The world thinks I need to be on top of the pyramid and I got to dominate it. And anybody that tries to climb up this, I got to kick them down. And so, but the kingdom of heaven is the opposite. It says, no, if you serve people, if you love people, right now in Awaken You, we're talking about you. We're talking about five levels of leadership. And there's, you know, in that first level, right, you're given a name and a title. And, well, you know, people will kind of follow you because, well, I have to because you're the guy with the title. You're the manager. You're the boss. But it just stays right there. There's a next level where people, they want to follow you. They're inspired by what you're doing. They're inspired by how you, your actions. They're inspired by that you're leading from the front, right, Pastor Andy? You're leading from the front. You're not just sitting on a sleigh, you know, cracking the whip at the slaves. No, you're pulling it. You're pulling it. And so there's these dichotomies and these things in our relationship with God that you know, giving. All right. If I want to get more money, if I want to amass this, I shouldn't be giving my money away. I should be hoarding it, right? But the kingdom of God is opposite. It's like, no, if you got no room to get any more, right? You're taking more, but it's at the expense of yourself. It's the expense of others. It's the expense of your family. But when you create a lifestyle of like releasing, you know, it's funny, there's this thing, you know, when you say yes to something. So earlier I was talking about Pastor Jurgen saying yes to coming here. Oftentimes when you answer the call to whatever God's calling of you and you say yes, it actually doesn't get easier. You know, without going into too much boring detail, you know, I said yes to preaching tonight. And so So then, you know, you would think today is going to be a nice, good, easy day that just kind of land right into the evening and get things going. And no, you know, I'm sitting at team meeting and I get a phone call and it was all the news that I didn't want to hear. And I'm like, no, you know, and it's got me frustrated. This phone call got heated and it's like I'm dealing with these insurance companies and all this stuff. And I'm supposed to be preaching tonight. Why, God, couldn't you have had this phone call come yesterday? Or, you know? But that's what happens in life, right? When you say yes to Awaken You, when you say yes to serving on a team, when you say yes, I'm going to start tithing, the enemy is not like, oh, they said yes. My hands are now tied. No, the enemy's angry. He's going to come after you. He's going to say, man, they're starting to declare God's word. I need to stop them before they actually begin to mean it and believe it. Because if I don't stop them, they're going to be unstoppable. If they start getting around to others and start praying too, the unity, I'm not going to be able to stop them. You know, so give your life willingly is a form of worship, to serve. You know, this, as far as I know, like, there's very few of us in this room that are paid to be here. We come and we serve and we give of ourselves willingly. This worship team is up here way before you get here. They've been rehearsing throughout the week. They've been preparing. They've been strumming their fingers till they're numb. They've been practicing on the keys to the, you know, and it's like, and oftentimes they don't get the accolades for it. You know, somebody might just be like, oh, good job with worship today. You know, but you know, that song, I don't really like that song. I wasn't really quite feeling it. And they're more gracious, and they're like, oh, all right. Me, I'd be like, well, you get up there, and then you. Like, they're here to serve you, but they're not here to worship you. All right, They're worshiping our Creator. Come on. All right, get off of that. I'll get off that one. I'll get off that one. All right, believing what he says. You know, Jenny last night waking you about preaching this and speaking life. There has to be something that comes and sounds different about our language. Because if it doesn't sound different, you're just like everybody else. Nobody's going to think any different. If you talk and sound exactly the same as the world around you, as the youth around you, as the your coworkers, why did I get that point? I got that point later on. All right, we'll get to that point later on. But we have to have a different language. It can't be this one of complaining. It can't be this one of doubt. It can't be this one of fear. It has to be a faith that when something comes against you, when something punches you in the face, right? Do you get just knocked down? I'm just gonna stay down here. I got punched in the face. Or do you get up and fight? Do you get up and fight and begin to declare and believe and say, no, maybe I need to keep my mouth shut right now so I don't say something I'm gonna regret? But I need to begin to fight. I need to begin to set my mind right. I need to begin to declare the truth of God's word and not my circumstances. Rest and enjoy is another type of worship. Sabbath. You know, God, he put the Sabbath for our benefit. He put the Sabbath so that we wouldn't burn ourselves out. He put the Sabbath so you could take a moment and focus and be with him. And not just, you know, it's not just like, oh, the Sunday's the Sabbath, but like, do you rest? Or is it just go, 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 and then, you know, is there a moment where you're saying no? And I get it. We lead busy lives. But if you don't give yourself a Sabbath, you'll never have it. You actually have to be intentional and say, no, this is the time I'm going to shut off my phone. I'm going to put it on airplane mode. I'm going to throw it in the toilet. I don't care. God, this is the time that, like, I'm focused on you. I'm resting. You know, Jenny, she started doing this thing where she's, like, getting all the dishes done on Friday night. Like, nothing. The house is clean because she's, like, Saturday, I ain't doing nothing. Saturday is our Sabbath, time to spend with family. And so if you try and get a hold of her on Saturday, usually you're like, man, why is she? This is important. This is important. It can wait. It can wait. But all those things, singing, standing out, serving, speaking life, Sabbath, those are all forms of worship. That we live lives that look like worship, that have him at the forefront, that have him first in our lives. When I was going to Bible school, it was my first semester, you know, and this was, I had 20 years of my life, I had really hardly left, you know, Michigan for anything. And now I'm down in Florida and I'm living on my own and I got roommates and nobody's there with me. And the first semester of our Bible school, it was so amazing. It was so awesome. We come back for Christmas break. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call. They're like, hey, we just want to let you know that the president of the school was asked to step down and most of the faculty left with him and they're going to be starting another school. And so all of a sudden I go away on my first semester and now all of a sudden I have a decision to make. There's like two schools that are going to be forming. And I'm like, what? Like, God, it's not ideal. What am I supposed to do? And so you begin to get counsel from people and you begin to talk to people. And, you know, and at that time I was like, I want to be a youth pastor. And so I was like, all right, this is the school I'm going to stay at. The school that I started at, this is the school I'm going to stay at. And the roommates, it was kind of divided. Like some were going to the other school, some were coming here. And so I finally, it's like after wrestling all the stuff, I make this decision to stay. And then came like the uneasy. And I'm like, but God, you know, it was like the first week of school. I'm like, God, but this is, it's amazing. I've got still friends here. Like I feel your presence here. Like what is off? And so I decided I was going to go to the Thursday night service at this other school, thinking that it would confirm that I was exactly where I needed to be. And I go, and same thing. The energy was amazing. It was awesome. And I was like, God, that didn't help. All it showed me is there's two awesome choices in front of me. Like, God, this isn't helping. But there was still this thing in here that didn't feel. And so I'm wrestling with God. And so at this Bible school, we had like curfew. Like you weren't supposed to be out past midnight, I think. It might have even been earlier than that. But so I kind of broke curfew because I was in my driveway. But I was like, I'm not sinning. I'm out here praying. I'm out here wrestling with God. And like, God, I don't get it. Like, that's the mission school. Like, this is like the pastoral school. Like, I don't understand it. But I knew that like my life, if it wasn't in obedience to what he has, I knew that like it was a sub form of worship. Because now I had put my worship in a title or a position. Like that was my focus. Like that, and so by me choosing this other school that I didn't really understand or make sense to me, it was saying, God, you are the most important thing to me. And so as soon as I said it, I was like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But God, I'm going to go to this other school. And as soon as I said it, it was just like I felt this peace in his presence. And then I went and withdrew the next day, and they were allowing that. And I went to the other school. And it was during that next season that I really God began to speak to my identity. Because up until that point, like I was kind of in this place where it's like, you know, I want to be a youth pastor, and I want a nice home, and I want a nice, you know, car and a white picket fence and a dog and like all this stuff. And God, and God knows you better than you know you. And so he knows that was just like, it wasn't reality. It wasn't what really made my heart come alive. And so all of a sudden I start going to this mission school, and man, things start making sense. That like, man, preach the gospel to all nations, whether you know the language or not. Like I would go, and I began to travel the world, and I began to do all these things, go to these places, live all these adventures I would have never had if I would have stayed with the idol that I had made of ministry. And so... obedience to him is worship. Point number three is we're called to reflect God's glory. As created beings in his image, our worship reflects his glory to the world. Our lives should be living testimonies of his greatness, drawing others into relationship with him. When we live a life of worship, we become beacons of light in a dark world, pointing others towards the source of true joy and fulfillment. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says this: You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, as it will give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven, your Father in heaven. As we live lifestyles of worship, not just sing songs, not just, you know, they get in your car and you're like, man, this is Chris Tomlin. Oh, you haven't heard Elevation Worship? Like, they're not going to understand that. They're going to be like, this sounds horrible, right? If you have a non-Christian get in the car with you, that's not going to resonate with them, right? But a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle that puts God's first, a lifestyle that says I talk differently, a lifestyle that says that I choose differently, a lifestyle, that's what people will notice and get hungry for. So I remember I used to work at the Olive Garden. Huh? OGs. some breadsticks. It was funny because when I got there, the trainer that was training us, he had used to go to the church that I was a part of when I first became a Christian, but he had stopped going. Like, his lifestyle actually looked rather different. It looked more like the world that he was engaging in. I don't know if you've ever known about, like, serving culture in restaurants. It's usually a party hard kind of lifestyle, like burn the wick at both ends students that are just living for, you know, the next weekend. And so I get in there, and like, and I immediately realized, I was like, wow, God, keep me in this time. Keep me. I don't want to find myself in a place where, like, I ever come to a place where it's like, I used to know him. I used to go to church. And so I just came in, and that was myself. And like, I wasn't swearing and cursing like everybody else. And everybody else was getting drunk, and I wasn't drinking. But yet, I still had joy. I still had this smile. I still had this vibrancy. And I began to make friends with some of the people there. Became really good friends, honestly. And they, like, it was a paradigm that they couldn't quite understand. Because they were like, Scott, how come we do all these things and like, but you're the happy one? How come we're chasing after a good time, yet you've got joy? This, she's over here like depressed, getting ready to take her life, even though she's, you know, smiling at the table that she's greeting. But they could see it on me. They knew something was different. And that's who we're meant to be. That the light inside of us, it changes the world around us. You know, I say it was a mistake when I first got saved. I don't know. But when I got saved, I let all my friends go. I just cut ties. Like, I just stopped drinking. I stopped drugs. I stopped all this stuff. I stopped girls. Language. I just was like, I know what's wrong. I know what's right. I'm going to do what's right now. And looking back upon that, I actually kind of regret that. Because as I pulled myself out, there was a light now being taken out of the dark places. And you have to know, you have to have boundaries, you know what I mean? You can't expect to be like still going to the club, and you can't be and think that like you're gonna change them. But the relationships with people, like, you can still do that. You can still be going to coffee. You could still be going to dinner. You could still be inviting them to the awesome things that you're now doing, that your church is doing. You know, like, hey, this amazing theatrical production hero. Like, you know, you watch a boring old stodgy production at the Hale Theater, or, you know, I watch this awesome rock show at my church about Jesus and the resurrection. And people will say yes to those things. And they'll experience something, because it's not just we're not doing it for fun because we're bored. We're doing it to impact the world around us. And so I pray that, like, even at this night, God will put on your mind, who can you invite? Who can you reach out to? Who can you call? Who can you say, you know what, man, they desperately need this. They desperately need this. Because I guarantee you, man, they're not getting fulfilled with whatever it is if it ain't Jesus. So what happens when we don't worship him? You know, the first commandment tells us in Exodus 20, verse 3, is like, you shall have no other gods before me. You see, when God is not the first place in our hearts above everything else, our hearts grow sick. We continually feel that something is wrong and out of place. And even as Christians, right, people that have made that choice, things can feel out of place, frustration. I'm not getting my prayers answered. But when those times come, you have to remember you have a good Father. And anything that he is not giving to you at this point is for you. It's for your protection. It's for you to inspire you to grow into something, to be able to handle something. You know, so as you experience these setbacks or experience these things, like the enemy would love nothing more to get you offended. The enemy would love nothing more to take you off track, get you focused on yourself. You know why this isn't succeeding? It's because you're spending so much time over at that church. Has the enemy ever whispered that in your ear? If you just pulled back from church, you'd be able to really, you'd go places in your job, and you'd be able to really save some money, and if you weren't giving so much to the church. That's the voice of the enemy, wanting to steal, kill, and destroy. Romans 1, 21 through 25 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." You know what? Kind of closing it up here. The true heart of worship is surrender. It's not my will be done, but yours. And when we fail to surrender, really we fail to trust. We place our trust in our own hand, in what we can provide rather than him. You know, sorry, I'm thinking about Kanye West. I'm like, should I? No, right? So recently, you know, Kanye was asked, it was like, oh, you know, you were putting out kind of Christian-focused music about Jesus. And Kanye kind of went on this rant where it was kind of like, I tried the Jesus thing, but he didn't answer my prayers. And, you know, because he didn't answer my prayers, he turned his back pretty much. He said that Jesus thing doesn't work. And I'm like, did you read Job? Come on. Kanye, read the book of Job. Like, I honestly think he didn't have enough, like, genuine voices in his life that could speak into his life about his walk, because we can't allow our relationship to God be dictated on, like, our circumstance. Whether the bank account is low or whether the bank account is high. Whether I've got a lot of people in my friend circle or whether I'm the only one. Like, when we put, God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not there just to answer all your prayers that make you feel good. Because the moment, the times, where it doesn't feel good, all of a sudden you'll begin to doubt, is God even real? And it's like, our faith has to be bigger than that. Our worship has to be bigger than that. So let's embrace our divine calling to worship and recognize it as both a privilege and a responsibility. And may our lives continually echo with the song of worship, glorifying God in all we do. So, what I want to do right now is, before I pray for everybody, I want to give an opportunity, you know? So if everybody could bow your head, close your eyes. I never want us to go through a service where we don't extend this opportunity, because for somebody, this is a moment. This is life-changing. this is an opportunity for them to say, God, I've been struggling for so long. God, I've walked through so much. God, I've done so many things. I don't understand how you could love me. But the truth is, he does. He created you. He designed you. Whether your parents planned you or not is irrelevant. God said, I have a plan and a purpose for them. Don't worry about the sins of your forefathers. Don't worry about them. He loves and values you. And so if you're in this room tonight and you're wrestling, you're saying, God, I wanna choose you. God, I wanna decide and have you in my life. I wanna put all this garbage down. I wanna put it behind me. I want you to come in and live in my heart. I wanna make you Lord. I wanna worship that which was actually meant to be worshiped. If that's you in this room tonight, would you just lift your hand? Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Is there, your heart's pounding right now. You said, I know I need to make that decision. I need to get my heart right back with God. Anybody else? All right, thank you. If everybody could just look up, stand up. We're going to pray together. And if you lifted your hand, or even if you didn't, but you wanted to, I want you to repeat this prayer with us. And we're going to all pray it together so you're not alone. But say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, but not staying dead. For rising from the grave, leaving the tomb empty, that I could have a relationship with you. I ask you that you would come into my heart, that you would come into my life, that you would change me from the inside out to be more like the image of your Son. I thank you, God, that I will be with you on this earth and the one to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. What an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.